All right. Well, good. You guys could remember to pray for her. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 10. We're going to continue our study in the book of Acts for a few weeks before getting into a study on God and His generosity and how generous God is toward us. The title of today's message is "The Gospel is for All People." And that is good news for you and for me because we're part of all people, right? And at one time it seemed like, and I think the apostles were a little confused, that it was for Jewish people or maybe just the Samaritans. But come to find out, it's for Gentiles as well. And I don't think we have any Jewish people in here. We may. But now it's for all of us. So we would be considered Gentiles. Everybody in here, I think. And God has given the gospel for all people. And that is good news for you and for me. So just a little bit of a recap. If you haven't been here, and it's been a few months since we've been in the book of Acts, we saw in Acts chapter 1 that Jesus commissioned the apostles to go out into all the world, and that He also tells them, you know, He's going to be with them, and He says, wait for the Holy Spirit to come. And then we continue on there after a little bit, and the Holy Spirit falls on the apostles, and they begin to preach in the tongues of all the people that were gathered there at this day of Pentecost, this time of harvest, this celebration that they had, and a great harvest came in. Although it wasn't grain or anything like that, it was people. People believing on Christ. And Peter gets up to preach, and it's crazy because there were like all these, I wrote down 16 different, that's what I wrote in my Bible, there were 16 different people groups listed there, and they were all hearing these fishermen from Israel speaking to them in their own language. So it was amazing. God was doing an amazing work. And Peter preaches, and as he's preaching, says they were pricked in their heart and said, what must we do to be saved? And he says, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And so many, it says 3,000, were healed there. And then we follow on. We see that the fellowship there, that the believers were together. They were devoted to the apostles' teachings, to prayer, to breaking bread with each other. We see John and Peter heal a lame man and then get in kind of some trouble for it by the Pharisees. And we see them in and out of prison here, there, and the other, but yet they continue preaching. Even after being beaten, they continue to preach. And we just see that God is all about making sure the gospel gets to people. That's the mission of the church. I mean, Jesus came so that those that were lost would become saved, and when he left his followers in charge of that mission to do that, and the gospel begins to spread. And then we see this guy come along by the name of Stephen, who begins to preach, and people are listening to him, and the big shots don't like it, and so what do? They stone him. This is our first mention of seeing Paul, who was at that point named Saul, and at that point on there was a great persecution in the church, and the persecution, which was under, I believe, God's providence, scattered the church out from Jerusalem. And they begin going all over the place. And you see God's providence even in the death of Stephen. As the gospel began to be proclaimed, it says, to all the people that they came across. So they were leaving Jerusalem because they were being hunted down, thrown into jail. And when they would come across people in their new little cities that they were at, they begin telling them about Jesus. And so this continues for some time, and we see Saul ravaging the church, and then God supernaturally come and appear to Saul and to save him. And that was in chapter 8 and chapter 9. We looked at that, and so we saw that immediately after Paul is converted to Christ, he too begins preaching the gospel. He too begins telling people about Jesus, and so that's what he was doing. And so here, after all that, we come to chapter 10, and we see this great story about a man named Cornelius and a guy named Peter. Now, who all in here knows who Peter is? Okay, everybody. Who knows who Cornelius is? A few of us, all right? So this is a really, really, really interesting story. So kind of what happens, let me just sum it up to you, because we're going to preach through 48 verses today. And that's just so difficult to do. And we could break it up, but I want to just keep the story together. And sometimes that's a difficult thing to do. But let me just give you the gist of it. Cornelius, he's praying. He's seeking the Lord, and God gives him a vision to send for Peter. And Peter, after Cornelius sends his men to go get Peter, Peter also is praying and sees a vision. And the Spirit says there's some men looking for you. And it says, you go with them. And Peter goes and he says, hey, I'm the man that you're looking for. And they ate together and then they left immediately, I think the next day. And they go to Cornelius. And Cornelius' house was there. And all of his friends and family had gathered together to hear what Peter had to say. And Peter says, hey, why have you called me? And obviously from the text we see they wanted to hear what he had to say from God. And so Peter then preaches the gospel to them, a simple message, which makes me see everyone in here could share the gospel of Jesus with someone else. You read the simplicity of the message that Peter preached to them. He says, while he was preaching, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. They were saved, they were baptized, and Peter continued with them. So that's kind of just a rundown of what has happened. Now we're going to read all these verses today, just at various stages of the morning. So the first thing we see here, I think I have five things. The first thing is that we see a man who draws near to God. We want to ask the question of ourselves. Are we men, women that draw near to God? Look here in verses 1 through 8. If you would read with me, if you don't have your Bible, it'll be on the screen. It says that at Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort. So he's like a military leader, all right, over like 100 men. And so he's a leader, and it says he's in Caesarea. It says, and it explains who he is. Verse 2, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, Cornelius, and he stared at him in terror. And this is usually what happens when a man sees an angel, right? Just put that in your mind, okay? Every time in the Bible it seems that it happens this way. Not always, but very often. He says, what is it, Lord? And he said to him, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon. I mean, it couldn't get any more confusing than that. A tanner whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him. And having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. So Joppa and Caesarea are about 36 miles apart. If you were to walk there, it would take about 14 hours. If you were to ride on a donkey or a horse or something like that, it would probably take around 9 hours. So they weren't that far apart. But for us in a vehicle, that would be like, so for me, when we go to Misty's brother's, we go to Memphis. Right? And so Memphis for us in a car ride is about 7 hours. You could get there a little faster if you didn't have so many kids having to stop and adults having to stop and eat. All right, so that's about 7 hours. So we got to go a little bit from maybe to Nashville. All right, so to Nashville, maybe in about the distance there, or I think from here to like Dallas is about 10 hours or something like that. So it's a good trek that they had to take. You know, they could do it in a day, but maybe they had to stop and take a break because riding a horse, just so you know, for 10 hours is quite uncomfortable. Right, it's an uncomfortable thing, and I don't know they had really like springs in the seats and the cushions or anything like that. You'd think that they would probably have invented something like that. But I've ridden horses a lot in my life, and I'm telling you, after a while, you do. When you get off, you walk like that. But anyway, they took this is the distance that they had to go. And Cornelius, it says here, describes him. He was a devout man. It means he was religious. He was pious. He had respect for God and for God's ways. It said he feared God, and we know from the Scriptures that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. He feared God. He had an exalted view of God. He revered God. It says he gave alms. It means he was, and it says he gave them generously. He was a generous man. He knew that his possessions were not his own. And as I was reading this, I saw something amazing. We think that when we pray, that goes to God, right? You know, our prayers, God hears our prayers. But look at this. It says, your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. When we give to God, it ascends to God. Like, you're not just giving it away. No, you're giving it to God. He sees it. It comes before Him. And it says here in these verses, as a memorial before God. Think about how amazing it is. You know, everybody talks about when you die, right? You can't take anything with you. But while you're alive, you can send things ahead. And this man had given, and it had ascended before the Lord as a memorial, and God had seen this man's faithfulness. It said also that he prayed continually. He was continually in prayer. He sought after God, and I believe obviously God heard him. I think of this man as an example of what James says in James 4 verse 8, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. He was drawing near to the Lord. He was seeking the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 55, it says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that He may have compassion on him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. And we need to be a lot like this guy. Like this guy Cornelius. We need to draw near to the Lord. We need to be seeking the Lord. Even those who are saved, and especially those who are not saved, they need to be seeking the Lord. Now, after saying all that about Cornelius, he was a devout man. He gave alms that ascended to heaven. He prayed continuously. He feared God. Yet he was not saved. If he was to die, he would die in his sins. At this point, he was not yet saved. That's amazing. Think about that for a second. Let me give you four reasons why we can see this. If you look later down in verse 43, as Peter's preaching to him, he says, to him, being Christ, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Now Peter had just told him, if you continue reading, and we'll look at this in a second, but just so you understand, that he, being Peter, and the apostles had been given the mission to go out and preach this message. This message to bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Now these guys, Cornelius, had not yet believed that. He believed in God. But he had not yet believed this message. He had not yet, as it says here, believed on his name. Second reason we know that he's not saved is because in Acts chapter 11, which we'll look at next week, Peter is retelling these accounts. He said, look, this is what we did. And he says in verses 13 and 14, it says this, he told us how he had seen the angel. So Peter is saying, this is what Cornelius had said. How he'd seen the angel standing in his house and saying, send to Joppa and bring Simon called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household. Now I think this is probably the clearest indicator that he had not yet been saved. Because the angel says, go get Peter. He's got a message that when you hear it, through it, you will be saved and all of your household. Devout man, gave alms, feared God, prayed continuously, not yet a saved man. Not yet saved. Also, as we see, being devout, being religious, does not make a person a child of God. You see that the Jews throughout the book of Acts were considered devout. Those in Acts chapter 2 that had gathered for the preaching were considered devout men from these nations. They had come for this celebration, this time of Pentecost, this celebration that they would have. They were considered devout, yet at the end, Peter tells them that they must repent and be baptized. They were not yet saved either. And then also we see the reaction of the apostles after Peter tells them this story. This is a fourth point as to why we know he wasn't saved yet. In Acts chapter 11, verse 18, as Peter tells this story, and they were wondering what's going on here. It says, and they glorify God, saying, then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance unto life. Previously, Cornelius had not had repentance unto life. But after hearing the message, we see that he's going to. So the first thing we see this morning is there was a man that was drawing near to God. A man who draws near to God. The second thing we see is going to be that there's a man ready to be used by God. A man ready to be used by God. Now, before I go to that, let me just say this. Why is it so important that we understand that Cornelius is not saved before he hears the gospel? Why is that important? Why is that an important thing to draw out of the text? The reason it's important is because we are called to reach the unreached. We're called to go out, and even if they have an idea of God, and they may be religious people, but without the gospel, they will not be saved. Also because devoutness will not save a person. Earthly righteousness will not save a person. God-fearing people who do good things and right things are not yet saved without believing the message of Jesus Christ. Hear that this morning. It's so important because only belief in the name of Jesus Christ brings salvation. It makes it very clear here. It's so clear, all right, that this man who loved God, God made sure. All right, now think about it. God could have said, okay, yeah, you know, we'll just save you, right? Could have done that. He could have let the angel declare the gospel, but he never does that. You know, he never does that. He uses men to take the gospel to people. And so in this whole thing, he says, you go sin, right? This man who's 14, 15 hours away, and let him come to you so that you can hear the gospel. It's important that we see this. And also when we hear people say, man, I'm good with God. I've got my own little relationship with God. You know, it's all good between me and Him. We need to make sure that they understand you have to believe the gospel to be saved. So we saw the man who had drawn near to God. Here we see a man ready to be used by God. Who's that? That's Peter. A man ready to be used by God. Verse 9. Following along with me. The next day. So I'm speaking it, you're hearing it, and you're seeing it. All right? So we're getting it. All right? The next day as they were on their journey and approached the city, Peter went up on the housetop. So the men from Cornelius are on their way. Peter has no idea what's happening yet. He went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray, and he became hungry and wanting something to eat. But while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens open and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter says, "By no means, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. Now, Jewish people, there were just certain foods that they were not allowed to eat. Right? Certain things they were not, like pigs. They couldn't eat pigs or horses, things like that, right? And so his whole life he had never eaten anything that he wasn't supposed to eat. And so when he sees this, he's like, I'm not eating this. And Peter was always about telling God what he wasn't going to do or what he would do. He did that. We're like that, right? How many of us? I'm like Peter, right? And then God, what does he do? God says, okay, we're going to change who you are a little bit, Peter. Now, so Peter does this, and it says, now, while Peter was inwardly perplexed, he was confused, okay, as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, Simon the tanner, stood at the gate and called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them." And Peter went down to the men and said, "I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for your coming?" And they said, "Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man, who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you, to come to his house and to hear what you have to say." So he invited them in to be guests. So here's a man, Peter, who is ready to be used by God. Now, why do I say he's ready to be used by God? He went up to pray. And if you notice, the apostles and Peter, and they spent time in prayer. They spent time in prayer. He had made much of God in prayer. He had sought the Lord in prayer. He was dependent on the Lord in prayer. And because he had made much of the Lord and depended on the Lord and sought the Lord, God was going to use Peter. Now, I want you to think about that for yourself. And in his prayer, it says that he was given a vision. And we looked at this, and we see that because of his upbringing, it was confusing to him. He wasn't supposed to eat these things because he was morally obligated by the laws that were given by Moses years and years before for the people of Israel. He was morally obligated not to do it. And as we'll find out later, that things have just changed dramatically for us as believers. We've been set free from the law. And so let me just say this. Peter's upbringing made him feel obligated to follow these traditions. Now, they were good laws, good rules at the time in which God had placed them there for those people to follow. But yet he changed things when Christ came, because Christ was the fulfillment of the law. I want us to be careful in our church about the things that we feel morally obligated to do, maybe because we were raised up a certain way. Maybe we think that when you come to church, you got to dress a certain way or talk a certain way or look a certain way. And there's nothing wrong with dressing nice or anything like that. I'm not saying that it is. Or maybe we think this is bad because we were taught all our life that it was bad. Or this is good and you got to do this. Be very careful that what you feel obligated to does not become legalism. Because legalism kills. Legalism is how man tries to please God. And how man feels superior to other men. And so legalism quickly turns into what? Judgment against our fellow man. Oh, well, I do this. You don't. I'm more righteous, more pious than you are. No. No, we're not. Be very careful what you feel morally obligated to do if it's not scriptural. Now back to the vision here. He's told by God, what God has made clean, do not call uncommon. Do not call common. And this confuses Peter. Now what's awesome here is we're going to get to see in real time how Peter sees this vision. He doesn't know what's going on, and it's going to be played out in his life. The answer to what does this mean? And I don't understand. Like, I look at some of the things that happened with the apostles, and I still am confused as to why they continue to be confused by some of the things that God was telling them all the time. And then I think about myself and I say, well, there's the reason. Right there. We just don't listen. We don't listen to what's being said. You know, we were at the youth thing the other night, and I asked one of the youth to go do one thing for me. And he came back and he'd done two opposite things. Now, I don't know how you could do two opposite things when I only asked you to do one thing, but sometimes we don't listen real well. And that's what sometimes Peter didn't understand, but he's fixing to see this played out in his life. And the reason he's going to see it is because even in his confusion, he was in tune with the Spirit. Even when he didn't necessarily understand everything that God was telling him, he was in tune with the Spirit. The Spirit told him the three men were looking for him. The Spirit also said that he had sent them because Peter was devoted to prayer. Because Peter was spending time with the Lord. He was in tune with God. Now, many of us in here, we're frustrated with our walk with God. We're drama-filled in our walk with God, in our life. We don't know, why am I not more solid? Why is my walk with God so shallow? Why do I struggle with so many different things? And if you really look at it, how devoted are you to prayer and to Bible reading, to spending time in God's Word and letting that flow out of you as prayer to God, where you really seek the Lord. Not I just get on my knees and say a simple prayer here or there, but prayer where you're really spending time with the Lord. Prayer and Bible reading is a reason we can walk with God. So we see that this man was a man ready to be used by God. Then we see also that the gospel is for all people. You see here in verses 23 through 35, it says, the next day, and this is the answer to his vision. The next day he rose and went away with them, And some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. So we see immediately that Peter is obedient to what God called him to do. God said go. What does Peter do? He goes. And I'm sure Peter, as a busy apostle, had like a long schedule. Like he carried like this rock, this little pad, you know, etched out all of his little scheduling. All right. That his schedule was full, I'm sure, for the rest of the week. But God says, I want you to clear your schedule and I want you to go to Caesarea. So he's going. It says, on the following day, they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them. He's expecting them. Why? Because God has told him to send for him. And had called together his relatives and close friends. So this is awesome because he brings people to hear the word of God. He knows that when Peter comes, he's got a message for him from God. And so what does Cornelius do? He brings people. He brings people. It says he brought together his relatives and close friends. What a message that is for us. What a lesson that is for us to learn. The principle of inviting people to hear the Word of God. To inviting people to services. To inviting them to hear what God has to say. And it says, when Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Wrong. Shouldn't have done that. Right? Not a good idea. Cornelius still doesn't have it all figured out yet. And says, but Peter lifted him up saying, stand up, I too am a man. So Peter quickly fixes that. It's not the first time that's happened. Won't be the last time that happens to men like Peter. But he quickly diverts the attention from himself and puts it on God. I too am a man. I'm just a man. And it says, as he talked with him, so Cornelius and Peter are now having a conversation. As he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered. And I can't get over that. Many persons. It's awesome. And he said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or visit anyone of another nation. So they couldn't do that together. And Peter would have problems with this later on that Paul would rebuke him over. But as you see, he's telling them, I'm not even supposed to be here. You know, culturally, I'm not supposed to be here. But he says, God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. And he's beginning to understand his vision. He's beginning to understand what God was telling him. Verse 29, so when I was sent for, I came without objection. He obeyed. I asked then, why you sent for me? So he wants to know what's the reasoning. Now, as you're going to see from the context and later on, they want to hear what he has to say from God. And so it says, and Cornelius said 4 days ago, he begins to explain it, about this hour I was praying in my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. That was the angel. And said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. He repeats it again. God had heard his prayers. He had heard his prayers. This man that is not yet saved, but he's seeking the Lord. God had heard his prayers, and God remembered that he was generous, and that he gave what he had to those that didn't have. Send, therefore, this is the message that he was given, to Joppa and ask for Simon, who's called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. So he's thankful that Peter comes. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. So he answered, the reason we're here is because we have come to hear what you have been commanded by God to tell us. So Peter opened his mouth and said, truly I show that God shows no partiality. That God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. A person is able to hear the gospel, able to receive the gospel, able to be saved. And so what we see here very quickly is that the gospel is for all people. And I want to make this clear. Early in my life, I came across a verse, Acts chapter 17, verse 26, that I've used many times in other churches. It says, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth. We all have the same great, 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 great grandfather. Right? You can call him Noah. And we can call him Adam, right? We go back to both of those guys. Everybody, black, white, brownish, Asian, whatever. Right? And what I love about our church, oftentimes we'll have a mix of all that. Black, white, Filipino, right? We love Joanne, right? Sometimes we have somebody from Mexico comes in. The gospel is for all people. All people. And if you don't understand that, you don't understand the gospel. You don't understand the good news of Jesus Christ, that He came to die for all men. Now, I've been in churches like this. I've been in churches that didn't understand this. Or they said they understood it, but everybody needed to stay separated, right? So the white people would come over here. This is what we see in the South, right? The white people come over here, and the black people go over there. But it's not the same. We don't worship the same. It's different. It's the same God. Same Spirit, same baptism, same message. We're all the same. Peter, right? God bless him. He didn't get it. He said, hey, it's just for my people, us Jewish people. He spent 3 years with Jesus, and he's still not getting into his thick head, so God has to use him so that he will understand that, he says here, that God shows no partiality. None. Doesn't matter where you come from. Not only does it not matter what nation you're from, it doesn't matter your level in society. Whether you be rich, medium, or poor. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter your education level. Whether you're white. Matter of fact, God tends to show a little more partiality to those that don't know. He's a little bit more kind toward those who don't act like they're so wise, and those that aren't so prideful. But it doesn't matter whether you're educated or not educated. God shows no partiality. He is there for all people. The message is the same for all people, and they all have to respond the exact same way. Whether they're full of education and money, or whether they're very, very ignorant and have nothing. Finally, what we see is Peter shares the simple gospel. So this is what God sent Peter to say. And what you'll see here, it's a very simple message. Now listen, I'm not saying that every single thing that Peter said is recorded. There were lots of things I'm sure that he talked about, but the main gist of what Luke records as the message of Peter is very simple. He says, as for the word that he sent to Israel, so we're in verse 36. Preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. So what did they come for? They come to hear this word. Right? They'd come to hear this word that God had sent His Son. That's what we see first off in verse 36. That He sent to Israel, speaking of Jesus, preaching good news of peace. Preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ. And then He puts a little, who is Lord of all. I like that. Then in verse 37, it says, you yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee, after the baptism that John proclaimed. Just conversation here. He's just telling, look, this is what happened. You heard what happened in the life of Jesus. You all know about it. It's not like you're that far removed from this whole story about this guy Jesus who got baptized and all the things that he did. And in verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And so he calls to mind the things, his casting out demons and raising people from the dead, causing those that were lame to be able to walk, those that could not see to be able to see, those that could not hear to be able to hear. And he went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, he says, because God was with him. And then Peter says, we saw this. Me and my friends, we saw this. It says, we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. So he said, in the city and in the country, we saw all these things that he did. And like we kind of live, see, I'm from the country. Like I grew up, I'm like 2 miles off the blacktop, right? I'm like, that's where I grew up. That's the country. So, this actually, y'all call this the country, right? This Waldheim, this is the country. This is like city right here for me. But so let's say this is country and Covington City. He's like, in the city and in the country, he did all these great things. We were with him and we saw it. We were eyewitnesses. So Peter's an eyewitness. Now, you may say, well, I'm not an eyewitness. Well, you believe what the eyewitness says. So that's what I am. I'm a believer in what the person who witnessed it said. So therefore now, I can directly from the eyewitness tell others about what he saw. So anyway, he says, we saw it. And then he talks about, he lived, Jesus lived. Look how clear the message is. Jesus came, Jesus lived, Jesus died, right here. But they put him to death by hanging him on a tree. You know, the scriptures say he became a curse for us. Cursed is every man that is hung on a tree. And so Jesus is killed. He is killed for our sins. He is crucified for our transgressions. He says, but, verse 40, but God raised him on the third day. So Jesus came, he lived, he was killed, and he was raised. And I want to show you something interesting here. But God raised him on the third day. I don't have this in the notes here. I did this after. But in Galatians, I want you to see how when we see God raised him from the dead, we see the Godhead represented. We see the Trinity represented in the raising of Jesus from the dead. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul says, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. So we see the God the Father active in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11, I want you to see this. It says, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. So we see that the Spirit of God raised Jesus from the dead. So we see the representation of the Father and the Spirit. They say, well, what about Jesus? Who raised him from the dead? God raised him from the dead. And then we see, if we were to look in John chapter 2, verse 19, Jesus says this of himself. And he says it in Matthew chapter 26 as well. Chapter 2, verse 19. The Jews said to him, what sign do you show us for teaching these things? Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And you see in verse 21, it says he was speaking about the temple of his body. He says, you destroy this temple, and I will raise it up. So we see here that God raised him from the dead. And that's awesome, and that's miraculous to see God doing that, raising Jesus up from the dead. And if Jesus was raised from the dead, that means those that believe on him can be raised from the dead. So we see the resurrection. Then we also see not only his resurrection, but the proof of it, his appearance. And it says, and made him to appear. And in verse 41, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Jesus, 3 days after being beaten to where he was unrecognizable, is walking around eating and drinking with them. Then we see, now he says, so we saw all that. Now we are called to go. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to judge the living and the dead. And we are all sent out to go. We're sent out to go because Jesus is the judge. Jesus will judge. This is an example for us. When we hear this message, when we receive this message, we become witnesses. Or should become witnesses of what Jesus has come to do. And then there's an invitation. A built-in invitation. Like you could take this little message right here, right? Put it in your words, and you could share it with anybody. Anybody you come across. You don't have to worry about being able to explain the Trinity or being able to explain what type of body Jesus had when he rose from the dead or how God exists or whether we're evolved from apes or things. You don't have to know all that stuff. Peter didn't even address any of those things. It's interesting. He never even once mentioned anything about evolution in here. All right, it's good to know those things. He just shared the message. And he lets the Holy Spirit do the work. He says to him, speaking of Jesus, All the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins through His name. Everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins through His name. What a blessing. That's an awesome thing. The reason people have trouble trusting in Christ is they don't see that they have a need for their sins to be forgiven. And until we get to that point, until we're humbled enough to see, man, I need my sins taken away. I've offended God. I've done wrong in His sight. I'm not the good person that I think that I am. I do not love God's attributes the way God loves His attributes, His character. Therefore, I am in sin, and therefore I do deserve His judgment. I do deserve His penalty. I do deserve to go to hell when I die. But He gave me a way here. Anyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins through His name. Everyone. All who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. It's a very clear message. A simple message. Even for us here today. And then what do we see? We see the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit. Let me read these last few verses. The last four. And let's look at the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had... So that's the Jewish people, all right? Who had come with Peter were amazed. Because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. The Holy Spirit was moving in the hearts and the minds of those who were listening, as I pray that He is today. He was affirming to them the truth of His message, that it was real. The Holy Spirit was working. Why do I call the Holy Spirit sovereign? Because the Holy Spirit is God. He is in control here. What had the Spirit done? Where do we see the Spirit working in this whole story in Acts chapter 10? Well, first we see that He had spoken to Peter, telling him to go with the men. You see that in verse 19. In verse 19, it says, "The Spirit said to him, 'Rise and go down. I have sent them. I have sent them.'" Also, we see that the Spirit is the reason Cornelius sent the men in the first place. We saw that it was an angel of the Lord, but the Spirit says, "I sent these men to you." So He sent the men, and He sends Peter, and then the Holy Spirit, as Peter is preaching the message, falls on the hearers of the message. The Holy Spirit is at work. And now the Gentiles, who many of those Jewish people didn't realize this would occur, now the Gentiles, those that were not Jewish, now the Gentiles received God. They received the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit continues to work the same way today. God worked through Peter. God worked through the message that Peter gave. And because of that, it says they spoke in tongues. They praised God. Peter baptized them. He stayed and He taught them. And so now we have three different groups that have had these signs of the tongues. Right? Does it mean that a person has to speak in tongues to be saved? The Scriptures don't say that. But we see that God has shown His acceptance of the Jews, of the Samaritans, and of the Gentiles. God makes it clear that all the peoples of the earth are welcome in His kingdom. And so the invitation today is this. I pray that the Spirit is moving even today in the simple message that He gave Peter. That even today He's maybe convicting some hearts that they need to ask God to forgive their sins. They need to believe on Jesus Christ for their salvation. You just ask the question, is He speaking to me today? Is He speaking to me? And then ask these questions. Are you a man or a woman that's drawing near to God? Are you a man or a woman who is ready to be used by God? Listen, these are questions right out of Acts chapter 10. In our men's group, where we meet, at the end of, we're reading a book. It's just really interesting. At the end of each little chapter, he's so practical. He says, "Now that you know you're supposed to be reading God's Word, will you do it? Now that you know you should be spending time in prayer, will you do it?" And I say, now after reading this chapter 10 and seeing this example, of a man that draws near to God. Will we be men that draw near to God? Will we be a man ready to be used by God? Will we be like Peter, making sure that the gospel is going out to all people? Can we share the simple gospel the way that Peter shared it? And do you see that the Holy Spirit is working in your life? Or are you quenching and grieving and pressing down the voice of God that's speaking to you today? So I have an invitation this morning. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, if you've never believed on the name of Jesus Christ, in who He is, what He has done and what He says and what He promises to do, if you've never trusted in Him turning from your sins, I want to give you the opportunity to do that today. And if you're a believer this morning and you need to repent of just maybe your apathy, not walking with the Lord as you should, I want to give you the opportunity to do that as well. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your goodness and Your grace. Thank You for this message of Acts chapter 10 and how You used Peter to tell Cornelius. And then I believe, God, that from there began, Lord, the work of us coming to know You. That from this very, very spot, Acts chapter 10, the message begins to go out so that we, as people from other lands, would hear about Your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank You for Your kindness toward us, Your inclusion of us into Your kingdom. Lord, bless the reading of Your Word, the teaching of it. God, call us to repentance. Let us hear it clearly. Fall on us today. Move with Your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.